Today on Talk About That, John is hopelessly behind on his Marvel movies and shares how a strong wind caused his mental meltdown. Meanwhile, I have strong feelings of my own about unnecessary apostrophes and get a dog at Walgreens. Also, a conversation about making amends. Today's episode is not sponsored by Hangman, the children's spelling game that combines the fun of Wheel of Fortune with the horrifying specter of capital punishment. It's Christmas time.
Monday, Monday, Monday. Johnny, it's Talk About That. Happy Holidays. Merry Christmas.
Are you one of those people that gets offended when people say Happy Holidays? I never understood getting mad about it because there's more than one holiday.
Right.
So it's like you put them all together and call it Happy Holidays. I never thought of it as something that was political correctness.
I think it became that for some people when there was like a
I think the war on Christmas is such a decades-old, farcical, stupid thing. It's not real. Well, it's our need to feel like we've been, you know, whatever, unfairly
persecuted.
Yeah, it's so dumb.
Yeah, feigned persecution. I wrote in an article like hey guys, you know, it's not out of the question. The article's not been published, by the way.
Oh, well. but you're being persecuted.
But I wrote this idea like...
They're stifling your free speech.
You know, it's not out of the question to think that we will create a self-fulfilling prophecy that Christians will become
right.
People known for
you're
hate
annoying.
Speech and craziness. Because, you know, we're attacking the Capitol in Jesus' name and we're doing all these things and not correcting ourselves according to our own belief system. So, you know, it's just a matter of time for they might. The thing you're saying they're doing to us that I'm not sure is happening in the spades that you're acting as it is. Perhaps it could because we'll become associated with the stuff that you're... So it's like this, hey, let's just not... I mean, there are Christians being persecuted in the world. I'm not sure that
that's
a lot
why
that, of this.
That's what it doesn't help when you're actually like making up persecution.
I love it when we start.
I don't like that Starbucks cup. They're out to get us. Right. It's like, come on, guys.
We must boycott Disney. It's just like the Bible says in Revelation. It's like, I'm not sure Disney's in Revelation, Jonah.
Well, you got to read it. You got to write it in there.
Although some Disney creatures do resemble.
It's in the dry erase Bible.
The dryer.
You gotta.
That's fun.
You can make it whatever you want.
I do like it when we start light like this, though.
By the way, if you want to support the show, you can go to our Patreon page. You can find us all those things at talkaboutthatpodcast.com. We appreciate you listening. Make sure you leave a review. That helps other people find the show.
Yeah.
Algorithms and such. We don't know anything about it, but we just know that it helps. We hear that it helps.
So I got a name for a. I'm going to start writing probably a newsletter in the new year, and I'll talk to you guys about that because I'm going to need you to subscribe. But like a bi-weekly thing where I write, you know, just some little thoughts and stuff.
Is that twice a week or every 2 weeks?
See, that bugs me a lot.
Right. Like there's semi-monthly and bi-monthly. Semi-monthly would be twice a month.
Well, bi-weekly and bi-weekly means both. It really does. It's
really?
Used for both. Yes. In my
I don't like that.
In my experiences, people can mean that. I have to ask, okay, did you mean every other or did you mean twice a week?
Yeah.
Because both mean bi-weekly. Really bothers me. Technically, bi-monthly should mean every other week, right? Because that would mean if you use the first definition of twice within the period of time.
I remember an old joke on Lenny and Squiggy had on Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah.
I don't know why I remember stuff like this,
but
you know,
I don't know either.
I'm a total 80s guy. But they had this thing where they, you know, they all worked for the Schatz Brewery.
Uh-huh.
That was the big thing in Milwaukee that they all worked for. And Squiggy said, I can't remember if it was Lenny or Squiggy said, we think Mr. Schatz is going to put us over driving the trucks. And they're like, why do you think that? And he said, well, he told us we were semi-good drivers. I was like 11, like, that's genius.
That's great. Yeah, that's cool. That's fun. The other thing is, before I get back to the name for my newsletter, possibly,
Wait, hold on. The driver's seat.
No.
Come on.
Well, you said, I'm sure this has been used somewhere. Okay. Because, you know, some of this is platform building and reaching an audience and all that, which I struggle with. So I was going to call it Algorithm and Blues.
Oh, no. John, let me stop you.
No, too soon. No, the other thing, I got a shirt the other day from Nerdy Tees.
Okay.
I don't know how they found me, but they found me.
Hey, bro, you're their target demographic.
And I literally bought the shirt, and Sadie has found such great joy in ridiculing me.
Mm-hmm.
It's the...
As teenagers will do.
The Oxford Comma Preservation Society.
Oh, yeah, I've seen
that. Have you seen this?
Uh-huh.
And so Sadie and I were going through, because I don't know if we probably talked about this, but I don't understand how you can't use an Oxford comma. Like, as a writer... Yeah. it's very offensive to me, Johnny. Yeah. Like this
when
is
when you have a list of things when you don't see the comma in there.
When you don't see the last comma, as if you can just leave it out for no
before
reason.
Before the and, right? Before correct. The last item. That's but, when the Oxford comes in. That's where it gets very, you know, conjecture comes in and people get very upset about it.
Well, and I can give you a great example. Like I can shut the whole thing down with one example.
Okay.
Like I can solve this entire problem
yeah.
in one example.
Sure.
Let's just say I wanted to eat steak, comma, potatoes, comma, and rice and beans.
Yeah.
The dish, rice and beans.
Okay.
If I live without the Oxford comma, I don't know if I'm having rice and beans or the dish, rice and beans.
But the rice and beans is just rice and beans.
Not necessarily. It's prepared with different spices. Rice and beans is a thing you order. Like, it is an entity unto itself, a culinary
dish. If I
dish.
Ever saw that sentence, I would have problems with that sentence anyway.
Well, because just all the steak ands. And the potatoes. These
no,
things
saying,
go together.
Just all the ands are too weird.
But that's what you do. I would have...
Steak and potatoes and rice and beans.
No, 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 no. So steak, comma, potatoes, comma, and rice and beans.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think that would. I think that sentence would never happen. And as a writer, you should be ashamed.
I'm not writing it. I'm giving the scenario by which surely we can. We if the
you're
actual
giving the outlier though.
Dish,
it's the what is it called? The exception that proves the rule, John.
Yeah, like, you have to like come up with. There's all kinds of things out there that have an and in it. That's a singular entity.
Right.
And so how do you know you're not talking about these two things separately or these things together? Johnny,
I don't know.
It's the scourge of our time. Like it must be stopped. I feel persecuted.
Right.
Straight up persecuted
why,
by it.
Why are the libs coming for our commas?
Oh, the libs do hate that last comma. Oh, gosh.
Tell you what.
Man.
You went to Oxford, didn't you? you're a smart guy.
I have been looking up. I want to go back to school bad.
Yeah.
And then I'll get real close. Like, I'll get close to applying.
Isn't it badly?
No. I don't know. That's why I need to go back to school.
I need to learn real good.
I actually am a stickler, believe it or not, for yeah. using the Li on adverbs in speaking. But I have to downgrade it. It sounds pretentious to speak properly.
Yeah.
You know,
that's where we're at now.
Yeah. So like sometimes I will intentionally, especially as a Southerner.
You're saying you dumb it down for the rest of us?
No.
I really appreciate it.
I'm usually aware when I don't add the L-Y, like my mind goes, you're doing this. Just be a guy and stop being yeah. pretentious. So mm-hmm. no, it's not dumb it down for them. It's who do you think you are?
Uh-huh.
If the local common lexicon is to just say, I want to go to school bad. Then yeah. just say it. You know what I'm saying? And then what sort of friend would ever correct that? What sort of monster
yeah.
would call it out? And the answer is, Johnny, that was you.
I'm that sort of monster.
I always thought of you as like the Monsters, Inc. kind of monster, like lovable.
Fluffy.
Yeah.
Et cetera.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah, you're like the...
I can see it.
I will never forget the trailer for that movie. I don't know. I mean, I had to be maybe in college or something when that first came out. I don't know.
Yeah.
Did you remember the trailer for this? It was like all these... It was this big epic. It was like, you won't. And I had these scenes in between each one with the words coming, believe your I. And then it was the first time you ever saw
right.
Mike.
It, yeah.
Mike
Sapkowski?
Yeah, whatever yeah. it was. And so,
Billy
like,
Crystal's character.
Yeah. And, but it had just him, like, right up, just the one-eyed monster. And it yeah. just was, it was brilliant. You won't believe your eye. And it was just this one-eyed monster. I was
that's
like,
Pixar.
Man.
Is it Pixar? Those Pixar
I think so.
People.
I think
yeah.
so. I wish we were creative like that.
Why can't you write something brilliant like that?
I don't know.
You're over here writing rice and beans sentences. Like, I've split the atom. You have not, sir.
I'm fighting.
You're just being petty over punctuation is what you're being.
Fighting the grammar wars. And so other people are doing important things.
My grandpa died in the grammar wars. I don't like to talk about it. He got a golden semicolon, which I thought... apropos.
Wow.
If you want to really sound pretentious, say apropos a lot, which I think you said last episode.
I did.
I was watching Spider-Man 2, the Tobey Maguire one.
Okay, I was going to say, which Spider-Man 2?
It happened to be on whatever, Peacock or whatever, and so I was like, I'll watch this, because I'm trying to get ready to watch the new one, you know. And I heard that the different universes come in, like Doc Ock comes into the new universe.
I need to pause there because what I've been told about the new universe is, because my friends are super offended that I'm way behind on all the Marvel stuff. Sure. I haven't seen Endgame. I can't watch Endgame. I have to watch 10 movies before I can be ready for Endgame.
Possibly.
I never have time to sit around and do that. I just don't. I'd watch Endgame.
Yeah.
But I can't, like the
But you watch other things. That's what
all
I'm
the
saying.
Time. No, yeah. I totally get
just
it.
Just take time and do it.
I can't. It's just like now.
It's worth your time.
It's kind of like me saying, Johnny, just read my book. And you're like, well, I do read books, but you're not going to read this one. You know what I'm saying? Like, Johnny, why
not
don't
after
you
your writing samples. No.
I have a whole chapter on rice and beans.
That's great. I can't wait. So does Dave Ramsey.
But anyway, I heard, though, not just the universes, the villains, they're bringing all the Spider-Mans.
Right. It's called the multiverse, so the Spider-Verse. So
I thought this whole time we were just going to treat this like Batman, where we just keep remaking Batman movies with different actors.
Yeah, they kind of went like, hey, what if there's... It started with the cartoon, and the comic books, of course, started all this, where... But there was a cartoon called Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, where they basically acknowledge that there's a Spider-Man in every world.
But do all the worlds look like ours? Because each of the movies have been our world.
Well, I mean, just I don't know how to explain
it. Is it alternate realities of the same world? Is that what that means?
Possibly. Okay. Well, everywhere there's villains, there's got to be a Spider-Man.
Oh, wow. That'll preach.
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
I'm telling you what. Mm. Oh. So anyway.
Is there a better advent?
So they're, but I don't know if they bring back Tobey Maguire. But anyway, to your point about punctuation and grammar and how you say things in a movie versus how you'd say it in real life. At some point, he's all flustered. And decides to stop being Spider-Man, and he says, I am Spider-Man no more. And I just thought it was so, ugh.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like he was reading it from a comic book, which maybe comic book people dug that, but I just thought, that's not how he
is that like
say
Michael
that.
Scott declaring bankruptcy? Can he it's just not, do was, that? Yeah. I am Spider-Man no more? Actually, you still have webs that no shoot out would, of your hands.
Yeah, no one would say I'm Spider-Man no more, you know, unless you're a Civil War general.
If I ever resign, I'm doing that. I'm standing. Guys, I'm your teaching pastor. No more.
It echoes more.
Yeah. Interesting.
And then there'll be much rejoicing. No, I'm kidding. John,
hey,
well,
they're like,
finally,
the witch is dead. The witch is dead. Yeah, sorry. That's when the, what were they called on the Wizard of Oz? The little.
The Lollipop Guild. No, the Munchkins.
Were they Munchkins?
Yeah. What do you mean?
I want to say Oompa Loompas, but that's not
that's,
right.
That's. Yeah. Are you serious? That's Willy Wonka.
Sorry, I got all of them just for a second. It's not because I really had them confused. It's just that when you're trying to recall, Johnny, this is when the cameras and the lights are on us here. You think we're just doing this off the cuff?
There was a friend. This is years ago, and he would talk about how he felt like the Oompa Loompas were like an example of like there's something going on there. Like that's a bad system at play. Like were they free to leave?
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
Were they trapped? Mining chocolate,
wow!
For this white overlord, like it's a
see. That's what I like about the Minions.
Yeah,
is that they do backstory movies so that you know
right
why they're working.
Okay.
For Gru, like you know, what I'm saying that there's a reason to it. Mm. So, you ever seen the Minion movies?
Yeah, of course. I've got time. Remember?
Oh, you did. You've seen
time.
Them all.
I don't be like, I don't really have a television.
Guys, let's be
I'm
honest.
I'm trying to get some work done, okay? I'm occupying until our Lord comes. You're better than us, John. We get it.
It's not better than you. I'm telling you, it's a lot of movies.
It is
not,
a lot.
It's not a...
But you could knock them out with Sadie like one by one and be like, tonight we're going to watch, Captain America Civil War.
But
or
Sadie,
Avengers Civil War. Sadie, Captain America's Winter Soldier.
You don't even know. Like,
but I'm
you're
saying there's
like,
a, listen, there's a list somewhere of like the chronological order to watch them
I've
in
tried
so
to
you
ask,
don't get lost.
I've asked friends, can you help me know the list? And it's kind of like Star Wars. They all have their own theories of what order you should watch it in, whether it's chronological, whether it's topical. I mean, like, guys, it's like trying to figure out where I'm going to start in the Bible. Like when a kid comes up, hey, I just gave my heart to Jesus. Where should I start?
And you
like,
say Winter Soldier.
With the book of John, but it's really poetic. Like it's going to, you know, if you're not into, you know, figurative language, if you're, you know, sixth grader, this could be a tough, maybe you should start at Matthew. But
go straight to Revelation.
Understand necessarily. Yeah. What you know, you don't just send them to,
right, dude,
go to Numbers. You know, like you're just, yeah. So
needs to be a begat. Avengers, just where it's just nothing but backstory going all the way back.
I'm shocked that these generate the level of monetary momentum to continue on the scale.
That's what movies are now. They're just big theme park rides.
Yeah.
You know? And we're like, woo! And then we just forget about them. They're like cotton candy.
Wow.
So I hear people say that this new one is really good, but it's, I just don't know. Like, they're not, I don't know. I don't feel like movies have, the big movies like that, big blockbuster movies have the impact. Maybe when you're a kid they do, though, because you're like, you remember them and talk about them and you, I don't know. But now, to me, it's just to go see them before people spoil them on the internet. Like, if there's some secret or whatever, you're like, oh, I just want to go see it before I find out. Bruce Willis was dead the whole time. Sorry if I spoiled Sixth Sense for you. You've had 25 years to see that movie.
It's on you at this point.
It really is.
Yeah.
Sorry, he was a ghost.
Yeah.
You've never seen that either.
I have.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you know?
It didn't require 10 movies beforehand.
Did you know that it?
No.
So here's my favorite part about that. I didn't know anybody that wasn't surprised by it. Not one person. You know, the only person that I knew that was not surprised by it is my brother's wife, ex-wife. She went, and she was kind of known for being like a dingy person. Like, she was very, you know, like, he'll laugh when he hears the story, because she was just like, she was kind of a, you know, she was just out of it. She was kind of an airhead. And, but she went, she goes, they go to the movie, and like 20 minutes in, she goes, he's a ghost. And the whole theater like turns around like, what?
Stupid.
And crazy. So when she, like, somehow she's like a savant. Like, she couldn't figure out anything, but she figured that out. I don't know what it was.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That is.
She had a special set of skills.
Yeah.
As it were.
That'd be a hard skill to apply.
Yeah.
But it worked right then. That's kind of like you when we sit here. There's like all this information, like the Laverne and Shirley reference. Yeah. It's like, where else in life would
jokes,
that have been helpful?
Like, jokes mattered to me at a young age, which makes sense that I would choose this profession, because I think jokes were very important to me.
Yeah.
Be it because I could, like, either I could, I knew why they were funny and it made me feel smart.
Right.
Because, like, adults were talking and I kind of knew what they meant.
Yeah.
Although most sitcoms were, like, geared towards the intelligence of a 13-year-old, so I don't mean that. But, you know, like, if you got, like, a weird, like, double entendre on Johnny Carson, you'd be like, oh, I know what he means.
Uh-huh.
And you feel like I'm a grown-up. Or it's something you can go say at the lunch table the next day.
Yeah.
You know, and you could be like, I didn't take credit for that stuff. I would always say, like, I saw this last night, and I would just do it, like, word
even
for
back
word.
Then, you weren't a hack.
I'd say
surely
there's a chance. But not took credit, but just did the joke, and then somebody's like, oh, you're funny, and then before they could get away from the table, you're like, oh, I think they thought that was me, you know.
Sure.
That wasn't really my joke. You know, you just, as they're...
Yeah.
I don't know. Someone somewhere thinks I'm... Then they see it later.
Was the funniest.
Then they say it on an old episode of, like, Gimme a Break.
And they think Gimme a Break stole it from you.
Yeah.
That's the... Yeah.
Wow.
Because in your childhood...
Which would have been tough, because I was in eighth grade.
I don't know how they did it.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I can remember funny things... And I see it with middle schoolers now, having a middle schooler. Like, being funny is what they all want to be. And
or just having the same taste in what you think is funny is like a tribe all its own. Like, if you like really random humor and you share a TikTok video with somebody and it's got that random flavor to it, it becomes like a bonding thing.
Yeah.
That you go, you both go and you go, not everybody's going to get this, but we get it.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of an interesting thing that humor does.
Yeah, there's an acceptance. There's, like you said, you got to be smart enough to you know, form the joke. And so a lot of it just is not falling, you know, when I hear middle schoolers. But although I do laugh at some of it.
Yeah, my brother said that his wife always brings him, like, these TikTok videos, and she's, like, cracking up. But she's really immersed in TikTok. Uh-huh. And she's on there. She has way more followers than I do. Like, she's, like, she has tons of videos she puts out. And, but she'll bring in these videos, and she's so immersed in TikTokers. They have all these little inside jokes and categories on TikTok. And he goes, like, I don't like them. I don't get them.
Yeah.
They're not like real traditional jokes. It's very like you're kind of in your own subculture, and within that subculture, this is funny.
Yeah.
But there's TikTok videos that I love. So I don't necessarily agree with that. I think but maybe I'm just a weirdo too.
Well, certainly.
Yes.
But I don't know if TikTok really encapsulates the fullness of that statement.
That has anything to do with TikTok.
Is Johnny a weirdo? Let's see. There was a really weird thing that happened to our church this week. I don't know if you even know about this.
I do. But I went and tried to find out. Like, I was going to try to go to the comment threads, but I couldn't get on some of the places where the comments. Like, there's a hip Mount Juliet or whatever. You know, there's always a hip on Facebook. There's a hip whatever your city is.
Yeah.
and you get all the whatever the
oh my gosh
the dirt.
I'm not gonna lie,
it's the second time it's happened.
This could be a lot of therapy that happens for me in this little conversation part of the podcast here.
Oh, good.
So because
a cleansing moment,
and I have felt the depths of this week. So as you guys may know, there was a tornado.
Yes.
A series of tornadoes that came through last week. And there is a cell tower down at the very bottom corner of our property that is leased to multiple companies, and there is a like 60-foot American flag. Now, I want you to think that through. Like a 40 by 60, I think it's 40 by 60.
Sure.
Like that's a long way.
Yeah,
John, it's long. Even if 40 was the limit, it's 20 by 40. Okay, I can't remember. It's big. It's the biggest flag, one of the biggest flags in Tennessee.
Yeah.
But it sits so far down there, and the tower's so high up. You've been down there plenty of times. Uh-huh. When you get underneath the tower and look up, it's the biggest thing you've ever seen. Like, it's like looking up at a building in New York.
It's a skyscraper, yeah.
Like, it's huge. But from up here, we're on this hill, and from kind of driving by, you don't realize how far away it is. It's like, oh, well, that's a flag, you know. Like, it is the most enormous flag you've ever seen. It is, like, custom-made. It wraps around the pole, and it takes at least a truck winch to raise, okay?
Yeah.
And there is a company who's in charge of the care of the flag, okay? And I can't remember if it was a year back or so.
This was 2019 when it first happened.
So apparently, 2019, they come to lower the flag to half staff, which I know we say half mast a lot, which would technically be a ship, Johnny.
Yeah.
So half staff when it's on land. I think it was when George Bush Sr. passed, and the flags are supposed to be lowered. Mm-hmm. Well, we have nothing to do with this. Okay. So it's a company out of Florida.
Yeah.
So they came and lowered it, and when they re-raised it, somehow, Johnny, it was upside down.
All they had to do was lower it to half.
I don't know what happened. I don't know why.
Yeah.
We had nothing to do with it. There's a flag somewhat associated with us, even though it's far away, that is upside down. And we can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
Like, we can't. We're not contractually.
People
are
wondering if it had these messages. Well, like, correct. Are we saying? Because if you hang a flag upside down, it means
it's a distress signal.
It's a distress signal, or it's like an anti-American.
Right. It's like a political statement
to some people.
And so the hit Mount Juliet Facebook boards and stuff just absolutely exploded. There was a news story.
Uh-huh.
Now, the news story was actually positive because it was about the fire department. Actually came out and used their equipment and lowered
But then they
it.
Also took credit, like, after our story, the fire department came and corrected the thing. They always want to pat themselves on the back, like they sounded the alarm.
Yeah. So last week in the tornado, we didn't notice anything because the flag is so huge and so heavy, it often just hangs, like,
or drooped. It wraps around and gets, if there's not enough wind or whatever.
Right. Yeah. It just hangs there, and you can't even see it on the other side of the pole. The pole's so thick,
or
depending on where it's hanging. So I guess when the wind finally did pick up, somehow, Johnny, somehow, see, this is where, again, my blood pressure begins to rise.
Right.
It seems impossible. It seems statistically not possible.
Yeah.
But I guess it did damage to the cell tower and to the apparatus that connects the flag to the cell tower to the point that it disconnected the top part of the apparatus. And the flag fell from the top.
Right, one of the eyelets came loose.
But the bottom held, and guess what happened?
It was upside down again.
We have a flag now for two times in 2 years flying upside down, this time from storm damage.
Sounds to me like this church hates this country. That's what it sounds like to me.
And guess what?
On the same day that Donald Trump spoke at First Baptist Dallas, you're going to tell me.
Was it the same day? I don't know.
No, it was this Sunday. It was this past Sunday.
I can't. So the six in me, which wants to create safe and efficient systems that work. So the staff call, I'll put it this way. The staff call Friday morning when we have a love-hate relationship with social media, but we are a public-facing organization. So we have a marketing director and people who are putting things out.
A public-facing organization.
Yes.
I never heard of that term. A PFO, if you will.
Yeah. I mean, And so we're like, hey, so we can wax eloquently and debate about whether or not the people on Mount Juliet and Facebook are communicating appropriately, because they're absolutely not.
No.
And we put people from our staff have put statements there. Hey guys, this is tornado damage. It like we're the company's trying, like we can't go take, it's tornado damage. And they're like, just take it down. Cause you just don't send a Boy Scout troop down to take down like a 500-pound, 60-foot flag that's connected basically. I mean, you just can't.
Yeah.
It's not as simple as that.
150 feet in the air. Yeah.
Right. It's not as simple as that. Plus, contractually, we're not supposed to. Like, that's their thing. And so they're contacted. They came out and evaluated. And so the deal was, it was so damaged, it was going to require a crane to take down because it was damaged at the top. So they had to order a crane, which took another couple. I mean,
so you decided the best thing to do is to light it on fire, let it burn into ash. Then the flag's gone.
That, could you imagine that picture? Like, but people,
I bet if I shot at the flag, I could get it off that one and it would just fly away and then we'd be good.
Johnny, the conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
And this, the, it just began to mushroom.
Yeah.
The number, I think it was like 450 comments. And they're still going, I think, at this point. Because people don't go back and read when we've posted.
Right.
It's too deep now. It's too big. We're like, actually, it's
not. Well, people just say things to hear themselves speak anyway. They just want to make sure they go on record as saying they love the flag and they think it's disrespectful.
Usually what it is, do they know that that's a distress signal? Has anyone checked? Like, you get that.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, we were in distress. So what we did was took a crane down to the edge of the property. You know, like they don't know because they think they don't. It's not their fault. They don't know. Like, guys, you can't just do that. This is not a normal American flag. This is not the one out in front of the school building. And so it, at any rate, and again, it's not even under our care. It's like, what? I don't know, Johnny, 700 yards from our church, the far end of a 28-acre property. It's closer to the apartments over there. Like, you know, it's not.
But people associate with our church.
I don't know. Actually, a lot of them don't. They just go that flag over there near the apartments and near the church, you know. So it's a cell tower.
Yeah.
And there's a flag
on it. We're the nearest person to blame is what I'm saying.
Yeah. And it just, for me, I'll put it this way. By the end of the call, it's a Zoom call on Friday mornings with the staff.
Yeah.
I have staff members like quoting the Serenity Prayer to me. They're like, John, you know, man, it feels like you're super upset. And, you know, I just wanted to let you know, just remind you, the things we can't control. I was like, we can control this. We don't have to, for 3 days we were at the mercy of the, this company coming to fix the flag. So they came, they brought the crane, they took it down. But Johnny, I'm going to tell you something.
Yeah.
It got me. So if any of you are listening, guys, you now know the backstory of the flag. And I can't believe. Now, I will say this, too. There's a part of me, and this is like a real bad part of me, okay?
Yeah.
That it's not that I question God. I do question God a lot, actually. But I'm just like, Lord, like, I'm not saying you did this. Like, I get that. But when most churches, when the storms came through, they had some shingles, some roof damage.
Right.
When the church at Pleasant Grove has a storm.
We have made a political statement.
It somehow hangs the American flag upside down for 3 days. I'm like, could we get a break like on this one? That seems like a superfluous extra. Could the whole thing have just fallen off? Like, why did it have to hang perfectly upside down?
Yeah.
That, we've been struck by lightning here like 7 times. You know the expression, lightning doesn't never strikes twice. No. We're on a hill.
It strikes 7 times.
So there's just this, like, I can't tell you, I tell the staff, this is what I was venting. I can't tell you how many times I get on a staff call where, like, well, that Sunday was just a perfect storm. It's like, a perfect storm happens once.
Yeah.
That's why they call it a perfect
storm. Or a 100-year storm, yeah.
Right. Like, we say that all the time. So I just felt like I was above and beyond. I get it. It's not a real problem. And I know it's on social media, and I'm not. But we love our veterans, our country. Like, no one's trying to dishonor those things.
In the world, you just wouldn't. If it was our flag, and we didn't want to have it, we just wouldn't have a flag. It's
circumstantial,
right?
Yep.
It's a lot of wind.
We can't get that. The thing is trying to honor. And so, anyway, I apologize to any of our staff members listening. I've already apologized. I just can't. I can't. When the systems I just go, man. Does anyone else feel that way? I wonder, is just me? But the committee in my head is like, it was like they were rising up. They were storming the Capitol building inside of my brain, like taking over. This was a mental insurrection, Johnny.
That's multiple personalities, John. You can call it a committee in your
brain.
You
have
You have
significant issues.
There's
I have
a
issues.
Number of Oxford commas in your head. Too many people to list.
I wonder if you can major in the comma at Oxford. Like that would be
like there's a whole course
to
you
spend
can take,
your whole got your scholastic doctorate. Career around this one issue. Hmm. Like write your doctoral thesis on your dissertation on the Oxford comma.
You know what bothers me, punctuation wise, is when someone says their family name, like if I say the Wethingtons,
apostrophe.
And they put an apostrophe. It's become so accepted that people don't correct it anymore. But I don't like it at all.
You know what I notice when I text it? It
adds it.
It auto corrects to the apostrophe. I have to go back and make it not do it. Which is then I feel like
or
I'm
like
being
when somebody says like I got CDs and DVDs, they'll put an apostrophe. It's like no, it's a plural of CDs. Yeah. It's not the CDs don't own anything.
The way you fix that is to make sure that both C and D are capitalized with a lowercase s afterwards.
I know how to do it.
I'm sorry. Whoa.
I've got signs on my merch table, and they don't have apostrophes because I'm a human being.
But when you... I'm just shocked that you have such...
I'm upset about it.
You have such a reactionary escalation over these things.
All I'm saying is if I come to your merch table and I see a sign that says DVDs, $10, and it's apostrophe...
You're not going to buy anything.
No.
What if it's like the best product ever?
I'll give you $10 and go buy a clue. Buy an English book.
You're going to give them $10 for them to go buy a clue?
Yeah. Like, okay. Here's a donation.
You're not. You got to work on your trash talk a little bit.
I know.
I'm going to give you $10 and I'm going to go buy. Wait, it's got to be your book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll work on it.
Yeah. You're pretty quick. Let me tell you something. I've seen you in action when you really get triggered. And it's a thing of beauty.
I'm not saying the Serenity Prayer, usually. I'm just acting out of rage.
You don't get enraged very often, but I've seen it. And when it happens,
yeah,
all that intelligence suddenly becomes like the barrel of a...
It's not good.
...finely pointed gun.
Well, we're thinking of the same confrontation that I've had with you. Because I remember we went into it. It was a friend of ours who we needed to confront. And I said, John... It's so funny.
Because I'm the hothead.
Because I'm always this guy. I'm always like, John, we get in here. Like, you do the talking. I don't want to say anything. I just feel weird about this whole thing. I've been lifelong friends with this guy, even longer than you. And then we go in, and you went, well. And I think you fumbled, like, the first part of it. And I was just like, I just started in. And I didn't stop. And it made me mad by myself a little bit when I think about it, because it means that I've kept a record of wrongs. Which is totally not what you're supposed to do. And it means like I had a categorical like defense. I mean, the lawyer in my head was like ready. I had files and files of things.
Yeah.
And so that's not a good sign. But
see, when that's the hard part, the whole record of wrong thing I think about all the time because so in recovery you learn there's three things. There's forgiveness.
Yeah.
Then there's amends. So forgiveness, you don't have to have anybody present. It's just between you and God.
Right.
I can forgive you because
and probably have.
But well, you learn that real forgiveness, according to the gospel, is not about an offense towards others. It's really about if Jesus has forgiven all of your offenses, then now it's all between you and him. So it's a beautiful thing. You don't have to have them apologize. You don't like, I can forgive you because I've been forgiven.
Yeah.
Okay. And this is the crazy theological part. And as fellow believers, every sin you've ever committed against me has already been forgiven. So it's already forgiven. So for me to hold it, like Jesus already forgave you, which is super offensive, but that's what you work through recovery on. And then you make amends. If you make amends, it's only for the things you've done. You cannot mention an amends what they've
done.
That'd
be hard. That'd be really hard.
It's super hard for justice-centered people.
Because everybody, even on the internet, when you see apologies, it's like, I'm sorry if you reacted wrong.
Right.
Or whatever. It's like, it's a total non-apology.
Well, what you want to do in those kinds of apologies is...
If I hurt you, if you were that sensitive that what I said hurt you...
See, for
you're
me,
that much of a baby.
It's less about like one of those passive aggressive things. To me, it's more about I want you to know why I did this.
Yeah.
It's because you did this,
right?
And so, my part
was wrong, but there were mitigating circumstances that you caused, and I want to make sure I mention that.
Yeah, here's the context and the environment for why I did that, and in amends, you don't do that. So I've made amends before where I've been.
Do you want to talk about what those people did now that they're not around?
I can remember a major amends I made.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, where I was viciously attacked.
Yeah.
But I had become angry in my response. And I was lied about all kinds of things. Like, and I made the amends.
Mm-hmm.
And the response was, man, thanks for being the bigger man.
Yeah.
or it takes a big man to do that.
Yeah.
And I regret that that happened.
Okay. So they were very, they
there
were
was, there was like a very carefully chosen words. Like there was never like a return, but you know what? The cool thing was, is I didn't need that. The forgiveness step really worked. Like, okay, it's fine. I mean, I really have forgiven you, and I really am making amends for my mistake. Like, you know, it was okay. It actually was great. Cause you're like, okay,
yeah.
If I did all this cause I needed that, then it really goes against what I'm doing. But the third step, Johnny, to your point,
okay,
is reconciliation. It's not the third step. It's actually like the 12th step or something. But reconciliation is what we all think we need.
Uh-huh.
And the truth is, you don't have to have reconciliation because that means a full restoration of the relationship.
Right.
But the only way reconciliation happens is the thing you're talking about. We actually both agree that we want to forgive. We've already forgiven, but we want to both make amends, which means we're going to talk about all the things that did happen.
Yeah.
And
can't pretend it didn't happen because now you have to be in a relationship with that person again and you're opening yourself up to be hurt again by them.
Yeah.
So you got to be. You have to be more careful. You have to have your eyes open still.
Yeah. And you got to be able to say, you know, so like I've been in situations where I go, look, thank you for your forgiveness.
Yeah.
And just so you know, I'm open to, that's what one of the things you commit to is I'm open to reconciliation. Let me tell you what it is. Cause everyone just thinks it means we're all good. You know,
yeah.
Reconciliation means we'd actually sit down and talk about the events that happened. And I don't have to have that. I'm good. Like I'm good. If I see you out, I'm not going to act weird or feel. That's how I know, by the way, if I have something with somebody is if my greatest fear as an introvert, especially, is running into them somewhere.
Yeah.
Usually at a funeral or something, you know, like that's when I'm like, okay, why am I dreading running into that person? Yeah. So I don't want to do that. So I want to be clear enough that I can run into anybody and be okay. At least as much as depends on me. And so it's not a record of wrong, back to your original like question, I think, to say as long as you both have agreed that this is a path of reconciliation.
Yeah.
And that's what's hard when you're confronting someone and they may not be agreeing. You're needing to make boundaries and they're not. They don't even know you need the boundaries, you know. So it's like
I don't know.
If you don't have that bridge, Johnny, you both got the bridge has two parts. You got to meet in the middle. You know what I'm saying? If you're only built half the bridge.
I start walking my way, you start walking. Wait, I start walking your way, you start walking mine. We meet in the middle.
In that old Georgia pine, is that what it was? Under the old Georgia pine?
Under the old Georgia pine? I don't think you mean in the Georgia pine.
No, we met in the pine.
The Keebler elves are in there. What are you doing in here?
I love the first part of Elf, by the way. Love that, where he talks about the difference between elves and trolls.
Yeah.
And what was it? Did he leprechauns? He did something else. And like, do you remember this first part? He's like, you know, elves can basically do one of two things. They can like, you know, bake cookies, but they have them in a tree baking cookies. It keeps catching on fire, you know, or they can build shoes.
Yeah.
And then they can work for Santa. It's like, we were going to hire, someone screaming right now, like big elf fans. we were going to hire, was it trolls? But one of them drank too much, so it was just burping, and the other couldn't control their bladder. He had like a diaper on. And so there's the reason that Santa chooses elves,
that's
because
funny.
They're specifically made for the job. So, but at any rate, we meet in the middle, Johnny. Not in the Georgia pine, but under.
Probably under.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Around here, don't stand under a pine too long, because maybe a storm will come in, Johnny.
It's true. Flip your flag right upside down.
Oh, boy.
You know, figuratively and literally sometimes.
And literally.
But I do think it's interesting when I get in a confrontation, or not confrontation even, like there's things you, like we talked about last week, there's things you think about yourself and there's who you really are, or you think like, oh, okay, I'm going to protect, I'm with this other person. And you're in the case of that argument, it was you. And I was like, all right, John, I'm going to lay back. I know you like talking. I'm going to lay back. Don't make me do this. And then I, boom. And sometimes I'll do it with Curry where I'll be like, all right, when we get in here, don't do the thing you normally do. I'm like thinking I'm being the better person or whatever. Don't do that thing. I'll deal with this. You know, harden your heart or whatever. Like we're going to go through this. Like the best example is my dog Daisy. So I don't know if I've ever told this story, but I found Daisy at a Walgreens parking lot. We've had this dog for like 8 years now.
Yeah.
But I found her at a Walgreens. I was going to Walgreens and this dog's in the parking lot. And I'm one of those persons like, you can't ever get a stray dog in your car, even if you want to like protect him. She's getting ready to walk out on the road. It's awful. And I'm like, oh, this dog. And I kind of go into and I'm making my mind before I go into the Walgreens, like, if she's out here when I get back out here, I'm going to try to get her in my car and like figure out something, make some posters, do whatever.
Yeah.
And I go into the Walgreens, I'm looking around. And I hear, suddenly I hear somebody scream, "That dog's in here again." And she was in the store. And the manager's like chasing her with a broom, like an old Tom and Jerry cartoon, chasing her out. I'm like, oh my gosh. So I go out and she's in the parking lot. And I was like, oh, there's no way she'll get in my car though, because dogs are so skittish, you know. And she got in the car. So now I take her home and, you know, I feed her. You know, she sheds everywhere, as she still does. And she didn't just shed everywhere, if you know what I mean. She had, because I fed her like whatever food we had for the other dogs, which upset her stomach. And so I wake up the next day, I'm like, oh boy. So I'm scrubbing that out of the carpet and I'm thinking, this dog, but I was already like, I like this dog. And then I go on a trip and I'd made posters and we hung some posters up, picture of the dog, blah, blah, blah. Put it on social media. And near the area, there's an apartment building right behind that Walgreens. So I thought, this is somebody's dog in that apartment building. And so I'm on my trip and I'm thinking about, oh, this dog, you know, whatever. And then Curry goes, Toby and Daisy were playing and Toby bit her and like got his tooth like stuck in her.
Oh.
Like in her back of her neck.
Oh.
And she had to like pull him apart. She's like, oh my God. She's like, I took her to the vet. You know, if this person like, so then that day somebody said like, this is my dog. I think you have my dog. And Curry had to take Daisy to the vet. And like figure out like, is there a puncture wound now on your dog that we've, but there was nothing wrong with the dog. She was okay. It was actually like just surface, you know, wound or whatever. It's but a flesh wound. So this person calls and Daisy's there. We didn't know Daisy's name at this point. I can't remember what we were calling her. And the person said, Daisy, her name is Daisy. And Daisy heard it over the phone and her tail starts wagging. I was like, all right, well, this is definitely her owner. It was like a total thing. So they get the dog back and I come home and Daisy's gone now. And I'm like, oh, this is sad, you know. Whatever. So then we go like a month and we're looking for another dog. But at that point,
at the Walgreens,
at the more Walgreens shopping. And so Curry's like, yeah, we want a third dog. Cause we have one dog who's getting ready to pass away and we have kind of the overlap dog.
Yeah.
You know, it's a weird thing in our family.
Oh, no,
like, you want to get the other dog used to another dog. So we're looking for that dog. And then, so we're starting looking at PetSmart and those kind of places where they do adoption fairs, where they bring in dogs that need to be adopted. And so we go into this is a long story, but we go in and right before we walk in, I talk to Curry. I go, Curry, we get in here. You're going to want this dog because it's a cute dog. But if it's not the right dog, we just need to be like, okay, to walk away from this dog. And I'm like pulling her. So I think I'm being the big, like, I'm going to be the firm, whatever. Cause my wife's a big softy. We go in and it's this dog, this big white dog. Jumping on us, being unruly, just, it's wild, you know? And I immediately was like, we're going to get this dog. Because I just love dogs. Like, if a dog's jumping on me and I have a chance to buy it, I want this dog. This dog will love me unconditionally and wag its tail when I come home. And I go, the lady goes, well, if you guys want to make a decision today or if you want time to think about it. And I go, I think we're ready. And Curry, before I could say, I think we're ready, Curry goes, we need to think about it. And I look over at her like, what are you doing? This dog.
You know? Gosh, that's great.
So we get out to the car and I go, what do you mean? Like, what are you going to do? Like, what other dog? This is fine. She goes, I just didn't feel it. And I go, what?
Have you no soul?
Right. I was like, what's going to happen to this dog? So we're on the way home from that. It was like a month after we had taken, maybe 2 months after we'd taken Daisy back. And the lady called Curry's phone because she saw like Curry's number. And she said, listen, I know you guys took care of Daisy for a few days. We don't know what to do with her. She's a little bit wild and we have her in this apartment and we're, you know, it's just not working out for our family. She's just too young and she's biting everything and chewing on everything. And you guys seem to really take to her. Like, would you want to take her? And Curry was like, we're on our way. So it was like a moment of like, wow. That was supposed to be our dog.
Yeah.
But I was totally like, no, when we get in here, you be firm. Don't you let these people like, and I go, we want all the dogs. We will take all of your dogs, please. I was such an idiot. So,
oh, that's so funny. Yeah. No, it is. I'll go into a meeting like that. I'll be thinking, because I'm usually pretty calm, but I do have a point of no return. I have, you know, on Back to the Future 3, a classic.
It is a classic. Those are all classics.
You know, the windmill. You know, once you pass the windmill, the train's not going to stop. It's going to go over the edge, you know. And so I'll have a moment. It might take a couple hours, but you can push me past the windmill. I'm like, I now, and now I want to talk about everything. Like, yeah. I was being quiet, and you said, yeah. I hem-haw at first. I'm really trying to choose the words, uh-huh. and then I'm just like, all right, you wanted this. You begged me to do this.
Right.
And now I'm unleashing the, you know, all the words.
Right.
And that's a bad, that's not good.
Yeah.
That's
not good. Don't release the Kraken.
It's good to have other people in the room then that'll be like, hey, John, Serenity Prayer. You can't control this. Because I have a base assumption. It's a part of my things in life that I have to keep working on. The base assumption is if you give me enough time to talk about it or study about it,
yeah.
communicate, I can fix this. Like, I can get us there. And the truth is, I can't. I mean, I can help, maybe. Yeah. But
I don't even think you can help.
No, I have not helped anyone. My therapist friend did tell me, I don't know if I told you this, and I used it in a message the other day. I couldn't find the image, but a psychologist developed this visual, and I'll just have to describe it. Let's see if I can be a good enough speaker to describe it. On one side, you have this line that says shalom, and that's like peace with God before the fall of man.
Yeah.
And he had his other things written underneath it, what all that was, no fear, no whatever, you know. And then there's this dip into like this bowl. So the line dips down into this bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And at the bottom, it just says sadness. So this is where shalom was broken. And there's this sense of sadness in that bowl. So this is like the life cycle of basically the whole of all creation. And then he drew a dotted line across the top of the bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, he wrote, fix it. So that dotted line is where we try. It's like this instinctive, we know peace is broken. We know the world's not right. We know.
Yeah.
And then the other side, there's shalom restored. So that's our future. That we're not there yet. So where we live, though, is in the bowl somewhere. You could be close to, like, you could be pretty healthy in the bowl, like up almost close to peace restored. But yeah. You're still in the sadness. Like, that's the thing. There's a sense of it. Even as a believer, there's a sense of it. And every time you try to fix it, you fall into the sadness. Like, you can get across and just dotted lines. You can do some of it, but you can't get all the way. Like, you can't get to shalom restored. That really impacted me to be like, he's like, the point is, like, don't be surprised by the sadness. Like, you're yeah. limited in what you can restore. Like, you're limited yeah. in it, you know. And
yeah, and if you're not living in some sense of sadness, it's almost like you don't really even understand what's happening in the world around you. Like, because even if you have a go, well, I have peace in my home.
Right.
If you stop to think about how much wrong there is with the world, you yeah. could get sad pretty quick.
Hey, listen, man, one of my biggest issues in faith, I mean, where I question the most is, this is a weird thing maybe to articulate, but it's true. I mean, if you have any empathy that comes from the gospel, then you wonder sometimes why others suffer more than you.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's like just a survivor's syndrome or something, but I think, or survivor's guilt, but like I think about that. We've been to many places together in other parts of the world, but I don't mean just other parts of the world. I mean, even here. I mean, I meet people all the time who I go, you know, whether through circumstantial things that happen to them, the relational things.
The country
things,
they were born in, yeah, you know.
Abusive situations.
Yeah, you have to be born under communist rule, and now you're going to be persecuted because of your faith for real, not just a dumb right. red cup.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, and by the way, I want to make sure I'm clear on this, to the point. Persecution could happen here. I just think that we might be hastening it along in some ways with the way that some of the church is articulating right now. I don't know why we can't. You know, let's not make it come faster. It may never come in that way, but we're kind of going, oh yeah, we can't be trusted in society if we're not careful. So when in Acts chapter 2, they had favor with all the people. So like there should be a place of, oh, these are the ones who take care of the sick and the poor yeah. and the marginalized and the impressed, and they forgive one another and they love each other and they won't deny those things even to the point of death. That's what the early opponents of Christianity, even opponents of Christianity would say about the believers. That, I mean, you couldn't,
right.
they would not forsake the ways of Christ in the kindness and the humility and the caring for the sick.
Right,
and those
we should
things.
Be able to outlast our critics.
And right now, are we known for that? Or are we known for absolutely fighting to the death for our quote unquote religious liberties?
Yeah.
And so that we can have tax exemption and we can make sure we own the libs. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like the tone, this is not a tone police thing, but the disposition of that feels different to me.
Right.
Than what I see in early Christians. If I'm wrong, show me biblically, I'll totally repent and change on that. But that's what I see in this.
It's our show. No one's going to be on here.
It's going to be hard for me to bring that person on. It's going to correct me.
Well, to your point earlier, though, I think you shouldn't. You feel survivor's guilt, but I think it's because God knew you couldn't take that persecution, John.
See, now, you know what?
He's like, you know what? John's soft. I think I'm going to put him in Tennessee.
That it's funny. I do have those thoughts. Like, maybe you think, and I'm kind of glad you think I can't handle. I mean, I think suffering is universal. I think it has severity in the physical realm that varies, but I think it is universal. And that's something we talk to people about. Like, you can get, and I don't like using first world, third world, and those kinds of things. I don't think that's.
Yeah.
I kind of lean away from those terms anymore.
Especially since we're the one who made the world judge system.
Like, right.
America's like, we're going to put ourselves first.
Right. Right. But I think to say, but in the indictment of us, I could say that there is a first world, quote unquote, sort of guilt among Christians. And I think that one of the ways to assuage that guilt is to be thankful. I mean, above all, be thankful. The Bible acknowledges there are those like, if you are poor, you know, do this. If you're rich, he says, don't trust in your riches. Mm-hmm. Like, remember. So it is another kind of battle to not trust in the things of this world when you have an abundance. And right. It's a different one. We don't have to compare it to the other, but we also don't need to act like it doesn't exist. And thirdly, I mean, be generous with what you have to help the. I mean, that's God's system. Mm-hmm. He is generous with his abundance towards those who don't have. So I mean, we have ways there, but you can't ever outgive your guilt. Like, you can't ever you can't do good works to outdo the human condition within you. But I think you can say, hey, just because you're not living necessarily in squalor today doesn't mean that you don't have some real issues that you're dealing with, whether they be mental, relational, financial, emotional. Like, you know, those things are also real. So we can't just say these are the only kinds of problems in the world that really matter. And how dare you complain that you face depression? Like,
right.
Why would you face depression? Look, your house is really nice. Like, we kind of like sum everything up in this. Like, what? Basically, it's American meritocracy. We're saying, if you have money, you have no problems.
Yeah.
Like that, we're stating an almost religious belief.
Yeah.
That if you had an abundance of possessions and opportunity, then the human condition goes away and you don't have any real problems. And I think that's not true.
Yeah.
So, but we have that underlying sort of assumption that remains there that shows up in our guilt.
I hate underlying assumptions.
Oh my goodness.
With a passion.
Do you know?
If there's one pet peeve I have,
I thought it was the
Oxford. It's when assumptions get under.
They're hard
they
to clean
lie
up.
Under things.
Man.
Ugh, get out of here.
You got to get a professional in there and you got to just strip the whole thing down to its bare. I don't know.
You know what happens with assumptions?
You used to always say that. I don't know whose joke that was, but I can remember being in college when you were forming what humor should be within my mind. Like you said, hey.
You should never assume things and you should never.
You see, you know what happens when you assume?
Yeah.
You make an assu of an eh. Do you remember saying that? I don't know if you recall that. It's like.
And you should never expect things because you make an X of punked. So stupid.
Oh, yeah.
Words.
Words are fun.
What are they anyway?
Mm. Guys, we hope you've enjoyed the words today
that have come out of our mouths.
Yeah. Because you had a choice which podcast you were going to listen to today.
Too many choices, really.
Yeah. And you picked Talk About That. And that causes me to question your wisdom just a little bit. But I'm
just
so glad.
Skosh.
Just no, man. We're so glad you guys join us every week. It does mean a lot.
Yeah. Check us out on social media. I'm always glad to have the follows there. And you can find out more about where I'm traveling and where I'm going in 2022. Calendar starting to fill up. And if you'd like to ring me to your church, organization, whatever, hey, click that booking link, contact link. Also, John, his new book, talk about that.
Ah, jeez.
NotSoBlackAndWhiteBook.com is where you want to find out about that, and you can leave a 5-star review for him. Leave a review, guys. It helps people learn more about the book, and it's an important book right now, so.
Yeah, or a rating.
I'll leave a rating. Yeah.
A review is preferable, but a rating will work. It's interesting. I'm hiring for a position. Our youth pastors who we love are moving to help plant a church. And so we're in a transition moment. And I was interviewing someone yesterday who had Not So Black and White on their reading list. They didn't know me.
Oh, really?
So that was a book that a professor.
You're hired.
A book that
you immediately hired.
Maybe
them.
They just lied to me. They're like, oh, yeah, I know that book. My professor told me it's on a reading list. Yeah, I don't know. No, actually, she
That was
seemed,
their accent?
No, she seemed super smart and very sincere.
She fires two guns in the air.
Yeah! Roscoe Pico Train. Anyway, yeah. Wow, that was an old reference.
But that is a thing to say if you're in the interview, like, oh, I know your work. That would mean, like, if somebody meets me and they're like a fan of what I do, I'm immediately like, this guy gets it. It's a good. He seems like a good dude.
Yeah, it is very like. I find it's really hard to get someone to actually. And maybe I think jokes are a little easier. You could send them a 15 yeah. second clip of one of your jokes. But when you have long form things,
you send a sample chapter to these
yeah,
people.
Yeah, it's really, really hard to get someone like, hey, I got a new book out. Hey, that's great. But again, it's almost to them, it's the equivalent of 10 movies to get to Endgame. Like, it's like, I mean, I'm when am I going to fit that book in? And I think a podcast sometimes is the same, especially if they're not podcasting people.
Like, well, you can enjoy a podcast almost passively, though. Like, I listen to podcasts when I work out, I listen to podcasts when I'm on a long car drive.
But a lot
you can't
of them,
watch Endgame when you're in the car.
But you listen to ones you probably had already accessed before, so you have some context for it. Like if you're starting a new one, they're like, oh, this is an hour, you know, kind of thing. But
yeah.
But almost everyone who does, they always come back and go, that was really good. Like they enjoyed that. And then, yeah, I'm in that same state. Like, yeah, you get it. Yeah. Maybe, though, that's just
the person's just got, like, you know, they have good taste.
Good discernment, even. They yeah. really
They understand. Know about what makes good things. And that would be me. I make good things.
Guys, we don't know what good things are, but we're doing our best with you. So
we're trying.
Thanks to all our patrons, by the way, who have supported us this year. We really appreciate that. Yeah. I mean, it's
God bless us, everyone.
Yeah. It means a lot. Your generosity means a lot. And if you want to join and help support the podcast, you can go to our Patreon page right there at the website.
Yeah. Talkaboutthatpodcast.com.
Yeah. Make sure you put the podcast in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Talkaboutthat.com. We don't know what that is.
We don't know where it goes.
We don't vouch for it. We don't own it. It's like the flag. Like, we can't control what happens on that.
If our website turns upside down, it's not a distress signal.
It's not at all. We're
Something's
okay.
Something's wrong with the internet. Yep. We don't know. We take no responsibility.
One of the tubes got twisted in the internet.
It
That's
happens.
All that. Hey, let me tell you something.
What killed Dad?
Oh. Hey guys, thanks for spending a few minutes with us. Merry Christmas to all of you. We'll see you soon on
Talk About That.
Do you want to better understand the Bible and give biblical answers to those who ask you about your faith? Hi, this is Perseus Poku, host of the Sound Reasoning Podcast Show. Listen to us weekly as we bring the truth often found in the ivory towers of seminary down to the steeple towers of the local church. Join me along with many of the nation's top theologians as we offer answers to life tough questions from an apologetic perspective. Subscribe to the show at lifeaudio.com.